Genesis 22 verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave or cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Genesis 22 is amazing. God had chosen Abraham out of the midst of a people of probably paganism, wasn't looking to Jehovah God for anything, and God spoke to him. Now the Bible tells us, as we've already looked, that he followed his father Terah to the place of Haran. And there in Haran, his father died, and after his father died, God moved him from Haran. You study this out, the place of Haran is always a place of delay. Anytime that God, or anytime you find him, it's connected with a delay from where God's wanting to move somebody to, and they end up being there. And Abraham was called to go from Chaldees, the Ur of Chaldees, the land of the Chaldeans, over to the promised land, but he hung up there in Haran. And so it was a delay. I think it's very fitting that, if you'll notice, Abraham's brother that died was also named Haran. And so if you think about that, the place Haran was a place of delay, then the son of Haran, which is Lot, was also a person of delay that delayed Abraham from going where he needed to be. We don't need any more delays. Amen. God is calling us to be a people of urgency. We need to be urgent about the Father's business. God is calling us to tell the world about Jesus. Just like the young lady this morning that heard the gospel and she didn't raise her hand, she couldn't say amen, and she didn't understand what was going on in her life. She told her aunt this morning, "There's a lot of emotion going on inside of me. I just want to get away from this place." You might be able to get away from the place of God, but you can't get away from the presence of God. Amen. And when He sets His sights on you, He will come to where you are and get a hold of you. Thank God. And so we found out first that for us as Christian people, we need to be like Abraham and be available. Then we read the story last week of Abraham when he went into Egypt. And we looked at Abraham's accountability. He was accountable to the people that God, the patrons we looked at, that God had placed around him. His family, his son, the godly people, Melchizedek. He was also accountable to the godless people that were around him. Pharaoh, "What have you done to me? Why are you like this?" Lot, who was looking to him for an example. He was accountable by the plan God's got for his life. He was accountable to the promises God had made to him. "I'm going to bless you and build a nation from you." Well, tonight I want us to find out this. That God not only wants us available and accountable, but God needs us to be accessible. Now, the word accessible means that you are a ready when needed. There's no delay. And when you read Genesis 22, you read all up through Abraham's life. God spoke to him. He made himself available. God spoke to him. He made himself available. But it seems as though when we get to the place here and we read Genesis 22, that there's something kind of hindering Abraham from being able to be accessed by God. And that something is Isaac. He had put all of his hope in Isaac. He had put all of his trust in Isaac. God said, "I'm going to give you a son." And so when Isaac came, he believed that that was all he needed, that he was going to be okay. Say, "Preacher, I don't know if I agree with that." Well, notice what he talks about. He says, "Thy son, thine only son, thy son that thou lovest." The first time in the King James Bible the word "lovest" is used, or love, is in Genesis 22. And it's connected with sacrifice. And so God wants you and I to understand that when it comes to being accessible, we must be willing to lay on the altar that we love the most, and we will be able to sacrifice it. And so God calls unto Abram and he begins to talk to him. Now listen, here's what I want to, I'm going to go not verse by verse, but I'm going to go down through this, and then I'm going to try to tie it all together tonight. Because God wants you to access to everything in our life. Amen. And the truth of the matter of it is there are some things that we cut off to God. Amen. There are some things that we may say, you can have it so far, but this is mine. Amen. I never will forget that they're growing up and going to people's houses, and even now watching young'uns as they play. A young'un will bring a toy, and you can tell when they bring two. One of them's to share with their friends, one of them's to keep to themselves. Amen. And you can play with one of them, but there's one of them off limits. You don't have access to that one. Amen. And some people may say there's a difference in availability and accessibility. I'll clear it up at the end if you promise to hang with me. As you look in Genesis 22 verse 1, the Bible says God did tempt Abraham. The word "tempt" means to be tested. Abraham had not been tested to this point. Say, "Preacher, what about Egypt?" Well, he was tested a little, but not a lot. He was tested when it came to Lot. But let's think about it for just a minute. Abraham had not been tested with that which meant the most to him. Amen? And you and I know that when it comes to you, you can test me in many ways. But when I get tested or I get tried with that
means the most to me, that's when you really find out who you are and what you made of. Amen? And so the Bible tells us, now look, Isaac had been born. The fact that the Bible calls him a lad puts him somewhere around 13 years old. That means for 13 years, Abraham had had the young boy with him. Some theologians even say that he could have been as old as in his younger 20s, his early 20s. And so that puts him maybe between the age of 20 to 23, around in there. And so by no means was this Isaac, this lad, a little tot running around. And you say, preacher, what's the point in that? Abraham had been living the dream. His son was born. His son was growing. God was blessing. Things seemed to be going well. Say, how do you know he's blessing? He had servants that could go with him. He had livestock to take with him. And yet things seemed to be going just great. And then after these things, you would think after all Abraham's been through, he had proved enough that God was number one in his life. But then God, after these things, tested Abraham and said unto Abraham and called his name. And Abraham said, behold, here I am. Now that's important. Because you and I got to understand, Abraham's still trying to be available. Even in the midst of blessing, when God called his name, he was available. When God called unto him, he was available. Now let me tell you something. The second time in this verse that we hear the angel of the Lord calling to Abraham, and we hear God speaking to Abraham, when you say, well, preacher, how do you know it? Well, the Bible says the angel of the Lord, if you'll notice, the word Lord is all in capital letters. That means Yahweh. And then when he goes on down through here, he says, for now I know that thou fearest God, seest that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from who? Me. The angel didn't want Isaac. God did. And God... Well, I'll get to that in a minute. So when he called unto him, Abraham was still being available. Verse number one. Now we go down to verse number two. Now listen. Listen to what God requires of him. Listen. You need to understand something. When God speaks to you and I, he's not wasting words. He's not wasting breath. He's not wasting time. God speaks to you and I, and there's times where he says you need to act now. And on day one, Abraham heard from God. Day two, Abraham got up and moved with God. And on day three, Abraham got to where God wanted him to be. One, two, three, God wants you and I to be that available. All right, verse number two, he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah. The word Moriah, the name Moriah, means chosen by Jehovah. Let me tell you something. When God speaks to you and wants something in your life, it is a thing that is chosen by God. God wants to choose it. God wants to use it. And God wants to bless you through it. But you and I have to be willing to go where God chooses. I had a man tell me today, preacher, this series of messages is killing me. Good. You can't grow closer to God until God challenges you, and then you've got a choice to make. I'm either going to quit or I'm going to keep going. And I shared with you this morning, where are we if we quit? Now, I'll just be quite honest with you. There was a bigger crowd here this morning than there is here tonight. And I'm not surprised at that. But I'll tell you what I am surprised at is that after what I said this morning, they still, some of them, think it's all right to quit. Amen. I only preached for 40 minutes this morning, so I know I didn't give out too big of a dose. Amen. You and I have to understand, you're still quiet and worried. Ain't no need being quiet and worried. God wants to do something in our life today. I told Jesse this morning, this is a big spiritual day. A big spiritual day. It was for Shemoa. She got up this morning following her little aunt to church. God had a divine appointment for her.
wanted to touch her heart today. She didn't know that. People that done business in this altar this morning, some of them didn't know what they was walking into, but God did. God has a chosen place that we have to get to. And in that chosen place, God wants to do something for us. Now you think about just for a moment, back up, I'm still talking about Moriah. God said, you go to the place where I'm going to tell you to. God already told Abraham that once, didn't he? And now he was sending him to another place where he was going to put Abraham to the test. I want your son, your only son, the son you love. He made sure Abraham didn't get Ishmael and Isaac mixed up, because Isaac was the son that he did not put out in the wilderness. Amen? Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I'm not picking on Father Abraham, but Ishmael, if you will, was illegitimate to him. He was willing to put him out in the desert with nothing. But God, because he made a promise to Abraham, took care of Ishmael. Ishmael now is the seed of all the problems we're facing in the Middle East. Amen. That's all I'll say there. And so he made sure Abraham knew which son he wanted. He said, and then I'm going to take you to the place and I want to do something special with your life. Christian, God wants to do something special in your life. God wants to be able to use you to make a difference in people's lives. He wants you to be able to be used of Him for the glory of His glory and be able to be used for your good. But you have to get to the place where you can be used. And then you have to get to a place where you have to choose. The Bible says, here, I want Him for a burnt offering. Now listen, I'm not going to give you the Hebrew word, basically because I'm not so sure I said it right when I was saying it in my mind, so I'm not going to sound so, but here's what the word means. The whole thing. You see, God was getting Abraham to a place where he was wanting the whole thing. The word burnt offering means a whole offering. The word offer means to give up, to put up. And so God was telling Abraham, I'm going to get you to a place where I want the whole thing. I have gotten so much, but now I want the whole thing. Christian, this is what makes it hard. God wants the whole thing. He doesn't want half. He doesn't want 3/4. He don't want 7/8 or 5/15, 6/16. He wants the whole thing. He said, a preacher 15/16 is almost the whole thing. You're just talking about 1/16 of an inch, but it ain't the whole thing. Who's measuring? God is. For 13 to 20 years, Abraham had lived with the blessings of a son. Part of that time, he had lived with two sons. And then she was cast out. Ishmael left with her, Hagar. And then Isaac was there. And you got to think, everything Abraham had hoped for, everything Abraham had prayed for was there in the flesh. And then here, after all these things, God said, give him back. I want that back. Indian giver. Some of us would have been that way. Amen. You give it, now you want me to give it back? That's not fair, God. Why are you going to do me that way? He takes off. The Bible says he rose up early the next morning. And he took off toward the place where God had told him of. And he took with him Isaac. He cut the wood. And there it is again, for the burnt offering. And he means that he is going to go forward with what God wants. Now listen, nowhere in this chapter, in the verses, I believe I read 14 verses to you, in the 14 verses that I read to you, does Abraham ever give the indication he's going to hold back on God? Does he? No, you say, preacher, I'm not Abraham. I'm not Abraham either. But I want to tell you something. Abraham was nothing but a man chosen by God to go and do something for God with the blessing of God on him. And then all of a sudden, when he got what he was being told by God, the promise had been fulfilled, God said, I want that too. Why? Because God knew that if he didn't have the whole thing, he didn't have anything. If you were to buy a house, Kim, Trent, they're working on a new house. If they were to build you a house, build your house, and the builder come and say, okay, looked it over, and there was a room in that house. And the door was locked. You go to open it, and you can't open it. They give you a key to the front door. I mean, it's a turnkey job. And you put that key in, and you don't get in that room. Would you feel like that house was yours? If the guy said, well, you can't go in there. Access denied. What good is it to live in a house that you don't have the key to every room in the house? See where I'm going? The Holy Ghost takes up residence in this house. And what good is it for you and I to say, okay, here it is, you can have it, but you can't go in this room, stay out of that closet, and that door right there leads to the basement, it's locked, and I got the key, and you can't have it. What good is that? What good is that? Hold on to that thought. So Abraham goes. There he sees the mountain. It's believed that the mountain there in the land of Moriah that he was to offer Isaac on is the same hill that the Israelites built Solomon's temple on the east side of the city of Jerusalem. Wonderful place to worship, isn't it? Notice with me, I believe it's in verse 5, verse 2, the first time love's mentioned. Verse 5, he tells his servants, you men stay here, take care of my little donkey, you boys hang out, me and the boy are going yonder to the mountain to worship. First time it's worship is used, it's connected to love, and it's connected with a burnt offering, the whole thing. Now here, listen to me. You get anything out of this? We come in here and we call this worship. No. And we really call it worship when we have shouting and singing and waving of the hands and people running out. Man, what a worship service. The first time worship's called out in the Bible, it's connected with a man giving up that which he loved more than anything else on the world, in the world, and God will say, I want the whole thing. Little Gracie, when she was little, we'd get a Reese cup. We'd give it to her, and she'd say, the whole thing? You can have the whole thing. God wants the whole thing. And then it's worship. Me and the lad are going yonder to worship. And we will come again unto you. Now listen. Those men, they saw the fire, they saw the wood, they saw Abraham, they saw his son. They had no idea that Abraham had plans of putting things in order and was going to slay his son. Now, due to the fact that there are some men in here, read how they offered that sacrifice. There were certain ways that animal, that sacrificial animal, was supposed to be filleted, quartered up, and offered on that altar. There were certain things that were supposed to be done in order for them to take that animal's life. And Abraham knew this is what
you trust God that much? Do we trust God that much? Abraham knew what was required, knew what was requested. It wasn't really requested. God said, here's what I want. And Abraham said, that's what you'll get. But he told them, boys, we're coming back together. He said, two's walking up that hill. Two's are coming back down. The Bible says that they left and they went to the mountain. Now listen. As they got there, God directed Abraham what to do. Isaac asked him, said, Dad, said, I see the wood, I see the fire, I see the knife, and I see me and you, but where's the lamb for a sacrifice? Listen. It's the first time lamb's used in the Bible too. The first time lamb's ever referred to is with a sacrifice. Now I'm glad every time I think about a lamb, I think about a sacrifice. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, which we're going to begin in verse number 17, it said he received him as a type. Isaac was the only begotten son of the father, Abraham. Jesus is the only begotten son of the father, God. Isaac was to be a lamb for a sacrifice, the whole sacrifice to be a pleasing scent in the nostrils of God. Jesus was a sacrifice who gave his whole life for us so that he could be a pleasing scent in the nostrils of God the Father. You see how he received him as a type? And when we find what God was doing here, he said, listen, God, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, son, trust God. Said, preacher, that ain't what he said. That's exactly what he said. You know what he was saying? Son, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it will happen because he's Jehovah God. I don't know what his plan is. I just know how far I'm supposed to go. Hey, I'm glad when he tells me how far I'm supposed to go and I get to the end of my road and it looks like a dead end, I'm glad God's already been working on the other side to bring those paths together. And man, what a time it'll be. You think about what it was like. Abraham walked up that mountain with a plan of sacrificing his son to God and walked down rejoicing with the same son, and it offered a perfect spotless sacrifice to Almighty God that God had provided for them both. Praise God. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. Will provide himself. You know why God had to provide himself? Because what Abraham was bringing wasn't worthy anyway. What are you talking about, preacher? He was man. God never, ever, 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 ever condones human sacrifice. Amen? The only time that human sacrifice was ever used was when God himself provided a lamb for the atonement of mankind through Jesus Christ. And when God's Son, who became the Lamb, Revelation 5, behold, the Lamb of God. Listen, he said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And John turned and said, he saw a lamb as it had been slaughtered. He saw Jesus, but they called him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But when he looked at him, he looked like a lamb that was slaughtered. Why? Because God provided himself a lamb. Abraham and Isaac walked up the mountain. Isaac said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, trust God. I'm going to throw something at you right here. Do you trust God that much? Do you trust God that much? You gotta ask yourself, that was more than just a son. What Abraham was trusting God with was the future. Lot was gone. Ishmael gone. Abraham only had Isaac. So he was trusting God with everything. God said, I want everything. The Bible tells us the story. Abraham went up, bound Isaac, an obedient son, just like our Savior. The father bound him, let men pluck out his beard, slap him through the face, put a crown of thorns on his head, beat his back. And then, the only begotten Son of God laid down on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isaac never offered to fight Abraham. Why? He trusted the Father. Jesus always said, if there's any other way, but not my will, your will be done. And when the Father said there's no other way, Jesus said, then I'll go. And when he looked into the cup, the Bible said he wept. He began to sweat droplets of blood. And they came and they took him away. And while he was laying there and they were nailed him to Calvary, he didn't call down the angels to wipe out the Romans. He didn't call down the angels to wipe the earth clean. He cried out to the Father for you and me, for God to forgive us. And he laid down. Why? He trusted the Father. Isaac laid down, trusted the Father. You know why? Because he saw that Abraham was giving God access to everything in Abraham's life. And the Bible says, as he began to take the knife, they will forget the time when Dad played that part in a play. Abraham took the knife, was going to take the son that God had given him, going to take his life and offer him back to God. And the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham. Well, let me tell you something. It's one thing for you and I to be available to God when God's calling to us once. But when he calls our name twice, we better be listening. Amen? Abraham, Abraham. Very important. He said, lay not thy hand upon thy son, thine only son. He said, because now. You come to church and people think you love the Lord. You tote a Bible with you in your car and people believe that you love the Lord. You post scripture on Facebook. You forward emails that are devotional and people think you love the Lord. But can I tell you something tonight? And listen, this is very mean, ugly, and hateful for a preacher to say. That's superficial. Because anybody can hit like on a Christian page, on a Facebook page. Anybody can copy and paste scripture when they like it. Anybody can hit forward on an email and click forward to all your contacts. And it takes very little effort. But it really means something to God. That's what he was doing with Isaac. Whatever you're going to do with him, here he is. What Abraham knew was God wanted him dead. But until he became dead to Abraham, he couldn't be alive to God. Jesus said, unless you hate your father, you listen to what I'm saying? Unless you hate your father and your mother, he said, nobody will know that you love me. That you're my disciples. Does that mean you're supposed to hate your mom and dad? No. But when you compare the love you have to God to the love you have to the things of this world, the people of this world, it all pale in comparison, and people think you hate them with how much you love God. And that's what he wanted from Abraham.
You see, I'm coming to a close. Have you got any help tonight? Abraham was holding back from God. You see, he had thought God's going to use Isaac. God wants to use Isaac. And God was going to use Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And then you know the story. The family grew, He was going to use Isaac. That's a whole different message for a whole other day. But until Abraham would give God Isaac and not trust Isaac. You see, Isaac, as big of a blessing, was a blockade for God in the life of Abraham. God could not get all of Abraham until he had all of Isaac. And then when he got all of Isaac from Abraham, he had all of Abraham. Each and every one of us in here tonight have something that's off limits to God. There's something, a part of your life, maybe, listen, a few weeks ago I was teaching a health class. And when it got to talking about relationships in my health class, God said, I want you to tell them some things. What do you want me to tell them? Tell them that sex before marriage is not godly. Tell them that missionary dating, which is what I call it, doesn't work. If you're wondering what that is, that's dating somebody that's not a Christian. Oh, well, I've changed it. It don't work that way. Tell them that they need to date people that are going to treat them like they're God's creation and not just a tool for their own pleasure. And man, when I did, the door opened up and them kids got to talking and I got to sharing. Listen. He said, preacher, that's not, I give some of my testimony to them kids. And when God got me, he got all of me. He got the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let me tell you something. When he got you, he got all of you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you'll give him the good, the bad, and the ugly, he'll be able to use it. But you can't cut it off. There's often times I don't want to talk about my past. That may be something that you're holding God back from. Maybe there's, listen, I'm really going to get you. Here's your little alliterated part of this. God wants our pocketbook. Amen? So that we can give. And there's people that, listen, God's got an order for things. If you'll notice, and I didn't talk about this a little while ago, but when you read in verse number 9, and he put the wood in order, it's the first time order's used, and it means to place things in their right place. When you and I put things where they ought to be, God's got a plan for us giving. There are people that say, well, I don't give to the church. I just give to people that are in need. That's not God's way of giving. I'm sorry to bust bubbles and to lick bread off a lollipop, but that's not God's plan. God's plan says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And when you bring, if you read Malachi, he says also that a man will rob God in tithes and offering. The tithes comes to here. If you want to give an offering, give an offering. The offering is above the tithe. Here again, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but maybe somebody in here needs to hear this tonight. God's got a way to put things in order, and if we don't follow God's order, we're out of order. Amen. For some reason, now we live in a day and time to where God wants us to come to the church house to be able to worship. And this, listen, this is the meeting house. Had a conversation today that we live in church outside of this building. And how we live out there is how we'll come together in here. Amen. And so we've got to be in order and put things in order. He wants our pocketbook. He wants our personal belongings. I'll share a story. I bought a Bible at Pigeon Forge. It's been a few years ago.
$10. Had pictures in it, large print, nice cover. Man, I liked it. Couldn't wait to use it to preach out of because it didn't have cross references, didn't have word studies, didn't have, it was just the Bible. $10 for it. Oh, I thought, man, I hit the jackpot. Loved it. You remember the young boy that used to shoot basketball over here? I was painting the front porch and that young man gave his life to the Lord. And I had that Bible in my truck because I was wearing it out, used it every day. And when I got to the end of Gucci Street, I said, give him that Bible. I like it. I got five more at the house. I'll give him, but I want back one. God said, I do too. So I said, young man, said, you got a Bible? Would you like to have one? I'd love to have one. I think I know where I can find you one. Where at? In the back of my truck. That was the last time I saw that young man. And about a year later, I run into him again. He said, about where did you buy the last preacher? Thank you for giving it to me. God wants our personal belonging. I was given a Bible by a man. Oh, I liked his sight. It was a parallel Bible. I made notes in it and I read in it. I was using it up. Man in this church used to sit about right in here. Got saved one Sunday. God said, give him that Bible. Why do you want my Bibles? He said, the notes you've made in that will help him. I gave him that Bible. And up until I lost contact with him, he would text me occasionally. I run across this in here. What did this mean? What did that mean? God used it. God wants our personal belongings. Are you willing to give whatever you've got to God? All right, now listen. This is not literary. What are you holding back? What does God not have access to? Every one of us got something. Just about every one of us in this life have something that we are holding back from God because we know if we give Him that, He's got everything. He wanted Abraham's dreams. He wanted Abraham's desires. He wanted Abraham's destiny in his hand to use it. He wanted his Isaac, thy son, whom thou lovest. Tonight, what is your Isaac? What is it that is keeping you from going all in and being accessible to God? When I first became pastor, I thought I had great plans. Anybody ever got great plans? And I wanted to start a little retirement fund. And the banker said, put it in an IRA. What's that? I mean, that's what I told him. What is that? You know? So I began to put it in some money in an IRA. Went to get this money one day because I was going to slip and buy some special stuff. And I went in and I said, I've got an IRA account. Yes, you do. I'd like to have that money. Okay, here's the paperwork to fill out. And I filled it out and I said, okay. And she said, it'll be 2 or 3 days for you to get that money. What? Yep, it'll be 2 or 3 days for you to get that money. I don't need it in 2 or 3 days. That's what I told him. I was getting irritated. It was my money. I worked for it. I put it in there. And now they tell me I can't have it. I said, now you're telling me it's not available? She said, it's available, just not today. We'll send it. We'll put it in your account in the next 2 or 3 days. I don't need it in 2 or 3 days. I need it now. Available, but not accessible. When I needed it, I couldn't get it. God wants you and I to be accessible.